Father, we just love you. And we thank you, Jesus. We just want to give you freedom again. You've been so awesome in these prayer meetings. And Lord, we want to start by opening those gates of thankfulness. And just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for who you are. And thank you for choosing us here. Thank you, Lord, that you're so long-suffering with us. Just thank you that you love us with a love that's just beyond our understanding. We thank you, Lord, that you're beginning to reveal to us some of your plans and share your heart with us. Thank you that you're training us in new ways so that you can move in new ways among us. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us scriptures as roadmaps that we can learn how to draw closer to you. We thank you that your scriptures are alive. They're still alive and fresh for us today. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, to rise up in us today, to pray through us your will, not ours. And we right now just want to lay down everything of us. We lay down all of our needs, all of our problems, all of our opinions and attitudes and ideas and all that we think we know that we have learned, maybe not from you. And even what we have learned from you that now is going to be changed a little. We just ask you to come and do this, Lord. We lay down everything, open every door, invite you to come and do whatever you will today. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to talk about thunder. A lot of scriptures talk about the voice of God coming in thunder. That has fascinated me for a long time. I love storms. I just love to hear the thunder. The louder, the better. And I keep thinking of the scriptures where it talks about God's voice coming as a thunder. And whenever the thunder gets really loud, I go, "What are you saying, God? Boy, I wish I could understand that thunder. I wish I knew what that thunder was saying." And the lightning, I mean, it's like God's throwing these lightning bolts, and I'm just so excited about them. And I know that it's God. It's beautiful. It's just a beautiful show in the sky, you know. But I know there's more to it than being beautiful. But in John 12, verse 28 and 29, talks about Jesus when he was on the earth. And the Father spoke to Jesus and said clearly, and Jesus said clearly, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Jesus clearly heard a comprehensible voice speaking to him. But those standing right beside him only heard thunder. They only heard thunder. We need our ears tuned into a new frequency. If we are going to be prayer ministers, we need to hear the voice of God speaking from heaven clearly. And then we speak it forth in English or whatever language needed so that someone else knows what he said. Jesus heard God, and then he told people what God said. God answered him and said, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So he interpreted the thunder that he heard. As prayer ministers, if we are laying down our life to hear the voice from heaven and give what God has to say to the ones we're praying for, then we need also to interpret what we're hearing. Last week, some of you weren't here, we did a fun experiment in here, and the Lord said to get in teams, and that means one is receiving prayer, one is praying, and one is the partner of the one praying. I didn't get to one of those tables to see how that went because I spent too much time in the first three tables. But when someone is praying and you're the partner, it doesn't mean you just get to stand there as a witness and know, you know, okay, I'm witness, I heard what they said. That's only a small part of it. But you're to be praying for the one who is praying, that they will clearly hear God, that they will accurately speak only what God is saying, that any spirits that are coming and attacking them, you're battling for them. well, I see them a little bit weak right here. There's some fear coming on them, and I just bind that spirit of fear, and you are protecting them. You're lifting them up. You're interceding for them. And you're watching the one they're praying for to pray for them, to have open ears to hear, to bind the spirits that are blocking them from receiving. You have a job as partner to do all of that. So being a partner is just as important as the one who is speaking. You're being the intercessor for the one who is speaking. So that's very important, and that's why another reason we want to pray, always in partners. So we experimented with that last week, but we also experimented with you were not allowed to just sit down and pray whatever thought came to mind. You had to pray in tongues first so that the Holy Spirit could pray through you first, to you, through you. And then the word says, if a man will speak in an unknown tongue, let him pray that he may interpret. So after you spoke in tongues, then you were to ask God, may I interpret this somehow, give them some understanding so that the seed can be birthed in them. God might have said many things into the person, but he may give you just a couple of words to trigger what he said so they understand it. Or he may give you the whole story. Praying in tongues is not always a language. It can be an unknown language, but the tongue of the Spirit can come through all kinds of things. It can come through sound. It came through smell when Harvey prayed for the priest, and he just kept saying, breathe it in, breathe it in, breathe it in. The Holy Spirit did something in that man through smell. He can do something through touch. He can do something through clapping. He can do something through tapping on a window. He can do something through the ticking of a clock. So he can work through sounds. So if you do not have a language that flows in tongues, you still can ask God to communicate to you any way he wants to communicate and just be quiet. Just be quiet and listen. One way he can communicate is through thunder. Recently when I had that angel visitation, I had the loud thunder followed by the lightning bolt and an impartation from an angel. I did not know what it meant. I asked the Lord to interpret it. And then he took me to scriptures and he gave me clear understanding of what he had come to do that night. That was awesome. There's other verses in Revelation 14:2 where John says, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. We need to ask the Lord, would you please set our ears to the spiritual frequency to hear what you're speaking into us, and especially if we are going to be praying in intercession. Whether we're praying here for another person on Sunday, whether we're praying over the church, whether you're at home in intercession, you need to hear what the Spirit's doing in order to speak what he's doing. He's very visual, too. He's very visual. We were praying, Harvey and I, in the motel. We went to a hotel for 3 days. If any of you ever wondered why he couldn't find us lately, we just went and checked in, and he could download, and I could download, and we could just have time together, and it was really, really cool. So yesterday morning, we're praying in the room and started having a vision. We were praying over some of you here, and God, in my vision, God took a hold of somebody's head, and he turned his head sideways, and he was shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking and shaking, and I'm going, what are you doing, Lord? What does this mean? He said, well, I'm trying to empty everything out of that ear, out of his mind. I'm shaking it all out of his mind because he's got so many wrong, messed up thoughts. And then I'm speaking into the other ear truth to replace that. But this was so visual before I actually began understanding what he was doing. So when you're praying for people or for anything, you need to let the Spirit move in you, because we want to pray in unity with what he's doing. And he likes to do weird things. Because when he does weird things, he gets out of our logic of having to understand it, control it, and make it fit what we think. He gets us out of that realm. So that's really awesome when you just rest in the Spirit, wait in the Spirit, and let him do what he's doing. And then you might not know he did anything, or you don't understand what he did. But then when you move to pray, you say, God, what do you want to say? and thoughts will begin to come, and you might not understand them, but you need then to pray with what he gives you. And again, if he comes and says, well, I'm going to have you pray over this man, and this man is in some secret wicked sin, and I'm going to tell you what it is, he may not want you to say, look, I know your wicked deep sin that you're doing, you know, and God has exposed you. He might not have you say that. He might have you say something like, God has a road that he wants you to walk, and you're walking on some road over here that he does not want you on, and you know what I'm talking about. And he wants you to get off that road and get back on the right path. He has ways of having you word things, you know, so that the person knows clearly, and they're hoping you don't. But they clearly got the message. And you may say that and not even know what was on that road, too. You may not know what was on that road. Sometimes it's not sin, either. Sometimes it's things that people just need to overcome, you know, that they're distracted by or trapped by or deceived about. So we need to ask the Lord, open our ears, open our eyes, so we know what the Spirit's doing. Because when we begin praying in unity with what he's doing, we're going to see some powerful things start to happen. When Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name, he didn't say glorify thyself. He said, glorify thy name. And I asked him about that. Why did Jesus say glorify your name instead of just glorify yourself? Why did he say your name? Because God has like a buku long list of names. Which name is he talking about? Which name did he want to glorify? And that really stood out to me too, because in Psalm 138:2 says, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Verse 1 said, I will praise you with my whole heart and praise your name. He's talking about praising his name. All will praise when they hear the wonderful words of your mouth. We need words, and Jesus is the living word. And the Father came and said, I have glorified my word above all my names. He glorified his Son. And now his Son is standing there saying, Father, glorify your name. But he didn't say your names. He said your name. A name is a very important thing because it identifies who you are and what you're supposed to be doing. People got their names changed. Sarai, who was the name sent lady or princess, wife of Abraham. But when God visited her and changed her purpose to become the mother of many nations, he changed her name to Sarah. There was a reason for changing that name. He talks about giving us new names. In Revelation 14, I think is where he talks, no, I think it's 13. He talks about giving us a new name. He talks about his own new names. But I've noticed in studying Revelation and studying the seven churches that when Jesus came to the churches, he announced himself differently to each church. And the way he announced himself to a church was an indication, a revelation of what that church needed, where they were weak. When he came to a church and said, I am he that has a two-edged sword in his mouth, we all know that means scripture, the word of God. And to that church he said, you need to fix your doctrine. You need to work on your doctrine. Your doctrine's messed up. We get doctrine from the word of God. So each time he announced who he was, it indicated what he was about to do, who he could be to them in their need. So when Jesus said, glorify your name, he was talking about the very expression of how God was about to show himself to the earth as Savior through Jesus. So our names are important. Our names are important. And I don't even know why I'm tying that into the same study except that he said to. He said to do that, but there was something about the name that's going to be important to us today. And I don't know if you have a new name, but God gives us new names, or he changes our name slightly, or, you know, like Harvey is What does it mean, a warrior? Say it again. Army warrior is Harvey. But God gave him the name Bashi, which meant little black sheep. Little black sheep. Kind of an odd one. Doesn't look like the others. Doesn't act like the others. I mean, we're seeing visions of, here's all the angels dancing along, and here's Harvey dancing to some weird beat, but he's going in the same direction, you know. But little black sheep, and he's the one that God picks up and cuddles and holds and fathers and babies him and comforts him. He's not Harvey the warrior. He's little Bashi. And God gives us different names that mean different things, and I don't know why I'm giving you that today, except maybe he's wanting you to deal with your name and who you are and what he's doing through you at this time in your life. Because anointings change on us. God is not only multifaceted, we are multifaceted. We are mom, and we are wife, and we are maybe a secretary, and we are, you know, all these different things in the spirit. So he may have you, at one time I was the deaf interpreter. I thought that was my whole spiritual life for the rest of my life. I was so in love with the deaf people. I didn't even care if the hearing people existed. I just wanted to live my whole world over here in deaf world. They were the most awesome people on the face of the earth, and that's all I wanted to be for the rest of my life. And it was a season. I have nothing to do with deaf people today. I don't do that ministry at all. It was a phase. There was a time that I was a school teacher. That's gone. There was a time we were teen youth directors for 7 years. That's gone. There were times that a certain aspect of us rose up, functioned for a while, and then he said, now we're moving over here, we're going to do something different. But even in doing the same thing we've been doing, he may want to do it in a different way. So this is why it's really important that we hear what God is saying. Every one of the seven churches. I'm going to be teaching this in detail, but to all of them, this is the basic message. Hold on to what you have. Hold on to it. Repent. Got to have deep and real repentance. Overcome. Overcoming is way different than repenting. It's overcoming issues you don't even know you have. It's overcoming woundedness. It's overcoming inhibition. It's overcoming stuff that you thought was you your whole life. And it's overcoming habits. It's overcoming distractions. It's overcoming everything that steals you from being who you were created to be and doing what you were created to do and walking in oneness with Jesus. Overcoming. So after you hold on to everything you have, you repent. Repentance just keeps coming deeper. The overcoming, then he says, hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. So we don't get our ears open. We can't get our ears open until we do the first three so we can come to the fourth. And it's kind of like a repeat, because every time you come before God, you can do the whole thing. God, I'm holding on to what you said to me. I will not let it go. My promises are true. Everything you've said to me is true. The word of God is true. I don't care what I see, think, or feel. I'm holding on to what I know I have from God. And God, I'm seeking repentance. Search me. Search me right now today. Is there any sin in me that would keep me from hearing you? And agree with him. Confess and ask him to cleanse you from all that. 1 John. Then, God, what do I need to overcome? What do I need to overcome? And he will speak clearly to you what it is. And he'll help you overcome it. And then you can say, tune my ears because I want to hear what the Spirit is saying. Today, and I'm really sure I have the world's worst memory for numbers. If there's a number involved, I can't remember anything. And so when I learn scripture, I learn scripture, but I don't know where to find it. So even though I've been studying Revelation, I have no idea. I know the churches are in like the first four chapters or so, and that's all I know. So this morning we're in the office, and I said, Harvey, what does Revelation 3:13 say? Because God wants us to base our prayer on Revelation 3:13 this morning. I just lay a turn there so you can see it with me, with your own eyes. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's the basis of our prayer this morning. I couldn't help but glance back up. Which church are we talking to this time? Because he says it to every church. Why did he choose this church? And if you look back up, this was a church that didn't have a whole lot going wrong in it. They didn't have a Jezebel teacher. They didn't have adultery in all their workers. They didn't have all this sin going on. And what God said to them was, look back at like verse 10. He says, because you have kept the word of my patience. We've been a waiting church. We have waited patiently for God to come. I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come on the whole world to try them that dwell in the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, so that no man can take your crown. He didn't give them anything to overcome except holding on to what they already had. They had to overcome the temptation to stop believing the things God had spoken into them. The temptation to lay down what they had because things got tough. Huh? To quit running the race, right. I mean, like, for instance, we prayed God would take this wall down. Is this wall literally going to come down? I don't know. Maybe that was just a prayer that parallels, we're going to expand, we're going to see the first 500 come in, and we're going to need room for 500. Maybe that prayer meant take down the restrictions of the size of our building, but it didn't necessarily mean that they were all going to be in this building. But we will see that. You can't let go of that. I mean, we could be told one day, I'm going to bring 500 in, and then from that point on, all we do is diminish and go down to 2 or 4 people. Somebody's got to be standing that ground saying, we will see the 500 come in. I don't care if we just saw the 80 go out. They must have been the wrong 80.
Right, right.
You have to hold on to everything God gives you.
Right.
And that was what they had to overcome. And I think that God is saying today, hold on to what he has said to you, that you know you got from God. Now, there's some things we may be holding on to we learned wrongfully in religion, or people spoke into us that just pumped our ego and we liked it, or what we wish God would do. But I'm talking about what you know that you know that you know is from God. You hang on to that and overcome. And then he goes on and says, and I will write upon him the name of my God. Which name? I wish I knew, because he's got a lot. And the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. I love Jesus keeps saying, I have a new name that no man knows. And then he says, my new name is written down my thigh, and then he tells you what it is. What? How come you say we don't know it, and then you tell us what it is? We know a lot of names of God, but we don't know him as that aspect. We haven't experienced him as that name. We have not entered into oneness with him in that name, in that expression of God. So I don't know what all this is about names, unless God's going to give us a new name that of what he's doing here, or you, what you're about to do, who you are. But there's something in hearing about names from God, too. I don't know how that's going to come forth. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I don't think we're going to go one-on-one prayer today. I think we're going to pray for the church or the churches. I don't know, but that's the verse. And he said to the churches, and I think he's going to speak to us as a church today and probably pray into churches. So we need to just hear God. I have no idea, as usual, if we're going to use music or whatever. This is the point where we go, what do you want to do now, Lord? What do you want us to do now, Lord? Do you want us to sit in silence and just listen to the sounds? Do you want us to play music? What do you want, Lord? Dave, do you know anything about the keyboard? Oh, I like that. Do you know anything about all the weird sounds on the upper portion? Good. That's even better. You don't know anything. That's the perfect qualification. It's yours today. These people that know everything just keep getting in his way. We have to get people that don't have a how to turn it on. That we know. That we can do for you.
Thank you.